Okay, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. We are in Shari Tshuva, the second Shar Beis, Beis Hei. Just to recap, we're in the middle of discussing the Rabbi Yoina is cluing us in to the six signals, the six things that can happen in our lives that are meant to prompt us toward tshuva, toward self-improvement, toward enhancing our connection with Hashem. And what he's in the middle of discussing now is the issue of Yisurin. So we're in Ois Hei, the issue of Yisurin. Now, what we're up to is, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that as a person, Chalila, is actually going through Yisurim, he should try, if he understands, if he's on this wavelength of being able to relate to the Yisurim as a means of improvement, as a sign for improvement, as a call for improvement, so he has to realize that he's in a great place even while he's actually suffering the Yisurim. So we're just recapping.
Okay, sure.
So what's that?
You heard the call.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, let's start again from the beginning of what he's saying. Yesha abotech b'ashem lehoichu b'muv tzukasoy ki achoshech sivasoy. A person with the proper bitachon should experience, he should be anticipating as he's going through the ordeal that this actually will be the reason for the greater light. We talked about this yesterday. I want to add the way that the Tanya says this. The Tanya says to understand that often an ordeal is actually a great sign of Hashem coming very close to the person. The way he puts it is that sometimes Hashem comes so close that, so to speak, he has to, I'll express it this way. I'll come from a little bit of a different angle in order to bring out this point. But we've said this a number of times. I think that Rav Shimshon Pinkus illustrates the point that the Baal HaTanya makes very well, which is really the point that Rabbi Yehuda is making here. He says, often you need an obstruction in order to be able, in order to enable things that can't really be too close to each other to be close. Okay, one simple example. Sunglasses. Sunglasses make things dark. What's the purpose of sunglasses? To enable you to go out to the sun. Without the sunglasses, you couldn't be in the sun. You put on the sunglasses, and now because you've created an obstruction between yourself and the sun, you can be there. Right? Another example of Shimshon Pinkus gives. He says, "Bechitza neshul." Mechitza neshul, right? We think it's to separate between the men and the women, but really it's the other way around. Actually, if we're talking about a shul that in the way that it ought to be, mechitza is there to enable men and women to be together. Without a mechitza, you wouldn't have men and women mixed. Women wouldn't come to shul, we hope, right? So without a mechitza, women wouldn't come to shul. What's the mechitza there for? You create a division. Now the men and women can be in the same place because there's something dividing them. So sometimes Hashem wants to draw extra close to a person, to draw him close to him, and therefore, kiviyachol, he creates a certain, the closeness that Hashem is creating now is so powerful that kiviyachol, there has to be a certain obstruction there, a certain darkness there. And that will sometimes take the form of yisum. For a person to be able to appreciate, to experience how Hashem is actually drawing very close to me right now because he wants me to get closer to him, and I reach out to Hashem from within the ordeal that I'm going through right now. Okay. Now, at the end of this paragraph, and this we also began discussing yesterday, was Rabbi Yehuda says that sometimes it's not about tshuva per se. Now, this is rare. We have to stress this again. We shouldn't be too quick to jump to this. You have a person who has nothing to improve. A truly righteous person is being put through Yisurim. So then we come on to the concept of what we call Yisurim Shel Ahava. Yisurim Shel Ahava, Yisurim that Hashem is bringing upon the person out of love. Now, what's that supposed to mean? So here, the way that Rabbi Nirina puts it down is, it's Yelin Yisoyen Ula'agdus Choroi Lo'ilam Abba. It's in order to give the person a test to work through, in order to increase his char, to bring him to an even greater place than Olam Abba. This person has great emuna, and he's performing optimally, and now Hashem brings upon him some difficulty. If he can keep up his level of emuna now too, then his emuna is worth that much more. Right? And that's one example. We gave a different example yesterday. But the idea is that when a person pushes through trying to hold up his standards in whatever area is being challenged, even in a time of difficulty, so his schar is that much more increased in that time of difficulty because of the equation that Chazal tell us, Pamachas Bitzar Yitzel Ner Shalei Bitzar. Anytime a person has to achieve something in a state of tzar, do a mitzvah in a state of tzar when it's being challenged, when the mitzvah is more difficult to do, it's worth 100 times more than doing it not in a state of tzar. So we have to think about that when some area is being challenged by a difficulty. That this is Hashem to offering him to very, very much up the stakes of his schar and his olam haba. Okay. V'amar Rabbi Yisrael Zichron Levracha, this is at the end of what you say, Chazal told us, Pishpesh b'maso beis tzorasa, right? Like we said, that when a person is undergoing some ordeal, step number one is to acknowledge that it's from Hashem and to accept it. Step number two is, what do I need to be improving? These are rules of thumb. These are standard approaches, the pilchus dealing with difficulties, misfortune. What is it that I need to be improving? What changes do I need to make in my life? What do I need to do tshuva for? That's step number two. Then, in the event that a person took an accounting of his life and could not come up with anything. Now, I dare say that if any of us find ourselves in that state, then the pshat is you have never really gotten into the whole school of examining yourself. If any of us could come and say, I took stock and everything is fine, then you need a little more help taking stock. We can almost say as a rule that it almost can't be. One good etzah for getting help and taking stock is to consult your spouse. She'll help you out, he'll help you out, she'll help you out. You just have to make sure that they're being honest. And you'll discover the areas that can use improvement. But the way the Gemara puts it down is, and this is fundamental, it's very important to realize this. Rabbi Yehuda will elaborate on it later, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it now. But the next stage of the Gemara is Pishpesh Vilei Matzah. I'm adding here, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't provide the whole Gemara. Yitle Bittul Torah. Then you should attribute it to Bittul Torah. Bittul Torah is already something very difficult to say, I'm not guilty of. And a certain perspective that the Netziv alludes to here is that the next step of it is, okay, maybe I don't have anything wrong in my life, but what could I be doing more? What are areas that I can be stepping up? I mean, Bittul Torah, in a sense, Torah learning is representative of areas that you could always be growing in, even if it's not something, you can't pinpoint something and say, you're doing something wrong here, but then there's the whole next level, the whole realm of things of, what are the areas I can be stepping up in my life and doing even better? So you still have to go through that stage before you can go on to say that, oh, apparently it's Yisurin Shalava, right? And in the event that a person says, wow, no, I'm utilizing my time in the best way possible. Everything that I could be doing, I'm doing at the maximum. Then you know that it's only there for the purpose of providing you with that opportunity for higher reward. But really, even before coming on to that, every form of Yisurim provides you with that opportunity, the opportunity of relating to it right, gaining the benefits, and also utilizing it as an opportunity to move our life to a higher place. Okay. Until the next paragraph. Included in this concept of using tzoras as a means of tshuva. One such example is hatshuva b'yayim hamavas, at the time of death, when a person does tshuva then. Person sees that it's now or never to realize that when a person is facing death, knows that it's coming, it's actually a great bracha. It's actually a great bracha because this is the last reminder. You're moving in now to eternity. At this point on, whatever you've achieved, wherever you've gotten to, is going to be locked in stone. This is the last reminder to turn everything around or to move it all to a higher plane. And therefore, that's also an opportunity to be utilized. I had a relative, a special woman, who passed away from cancer at a relatively young age, not a very young age, but at a relatively young age. I think she was in her mid-60s. Early 60s, mid-60s, relatively young age. And, you know, she had been ill for a while and she was battling the illness until it reached the point where she came to the doctor and the doctor sat her down and told her very bluntly that that's it. There's nothing more they can do for her. And, you know, he said she has like another couple of months or something like that. Her daughter said that when she came home from the doctor, so they showed up at her house 7 minutes later, 7 minutes after she got home from the doctor and hearing this prognosis that is telling her she has a couple of months to live. So they came in and they found her. She was sitting with her husband learning Hilchas Tshuva. Learning Hilchas Tshuva. And in those coming months, she expressed to her family a number of times. She spent the months thanking Hashem for the many, many benefits she had gotten in her life. And she said that one of the things that she was very thankful to Hashem for was giving her that opportunity of knowing that she has a certain period of time. Of course, no doctor can be goyzer exactly how much time it is, but knowing that she has a certain period of time, which was able, gave her the opportunity to really get into the mindset of completely going through this process in order to be able to approach it. Like the Pasuk says, "Vatischak liyom acharon," she laughs the last day in the face, approaches it with a smile. Now, Mashikosov. Like the Pasuk says, "B'maisa adam rasha, toivat tikva." When a wicked man dies, all hope is lost. Meaning that's it. Rachmana litzlan. For a person to pass away, and then a split second later, he all of a sudden sees what he's been. He all of a sudden sees what he'd been neglecting his whole life. And at that point, he says, "Oh, right, if I could just have 2 minutes now to do that tshuva, to make that change, what I would give for it." So we have to realize that we are very, very, very privileged and fortunate that we're not there yet. All of us here, anybody who's listening to this now is still alive. Puts you in a very, very unique, privileged position to be able to turn everything around without much effort. It requires effort. But in order to turn everything around, without much effort. If you want to put in more effort, you can get yourself to an even better place. But being alive is a great opportunity. Like we say a number of times, appreciate the fact that you're a privileged minority. Most people are dead. And most people, you go to a Beis HaKvaras. Go to a Beis HaKvaras and look around. You know what that look is? You have to put your tzitzis in. I was one time standing on Hamanuchas. I had my tzitzis in. I tucked them in. Which is really meant to make you conscious of the fact you should chop the dynamic in the Beis HaKvaras. Everybody who's lying there is looking at you and saying, if I only had that opportunity. It's teasing them, right? So I was trying to imagine to myself, what are they thinking? Thousands of people, I don't know how many kvaras there are in Har HaMenuchos, thousands of people spread out around this mountain. And there's thousands, tens of thousands, I don't know what the numbers are. And they're looking at me, and what are they thinking? And just like what occurred to me, it was, which is my feeling was, that they're probably thinking two things. First of all, the envy that the Gemara talks about, right? This person has the opportunity to gain so much, but probably at the same time, a certain zilzul, a certain like, but he doesn't chop. The poor guy doesn't chop. He doesn't chop like we do. What he can do with every moment now. So to appreciate that even a moment before, if he does says vidui then and comes back to Hashem, that's accepted. Hashem accepts it lovingly. Even though it's nowhere near the level who does that tshuva, who makes those changes, those improvements, before he gets to that stage. Realize we're still at the stage now when the tshuva, when figuring out what changes need to be made, are of a much, much higher quality, of a much greater quality. That is, so Rabbi Yonah includes this in the package of doing tshuva, utilizing misfortune, utilizing tzara as a signal, as a call for that introspection, for that coming back, for that reconnecting. The next step, which we're not going to see now, we'll see that tomorrow, Yitzhak Hashem, is signal number two, what we'll call it, is when a person feels himself growing older. Those physical changes are also meant as a signal from Hashem, reminding us, Hashem is reminding us, I don't want you to waste the glorious opportunity that I gave you that's called life. We'll see that, no, not tomorrow, Thursday, Yitzhak Hashem. Yes, tomorrow. Tonight, today's Monday.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm somewhere between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. But tomorrow, Yitzhak Hashem. Kol Tov.
Thank you.